بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Splendors of the Sahaba, an original podcast brought to you by Masjid Al-Islah, where we show you and learn more about the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, get inspired by their stories, and inshallah have an increase in faith and love for them. Radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. May Allah be pleased with them. So, welcome back with me, Ustaz Hairul Zaman. Inshallah, today we will discuss a particular companion where he's known for his conversion story. His conversion to Islam was considered one of the best stories about people who search for the truth and found the truth and embraced the truth. I think all of us have a sweet spot to listen to conversion stories where we feel inspired, where we feel that people who converted to Islam had seen the beauties of Islam and embrace that beauty and practice it in their lives. So today, inshallah, let me share with you the conversion story of this famous companion, Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu. Salman al-Farisi, he was known as al-Farisi because al-Farisi meant Persian. So he was in fact a Persian. So he was a Persian that lived in a village called Asfahan, somewhere in Persia or modern day Iran. And then through his journey in seeking the truth, he reached Medina and met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this particular story of his conversion was narrated by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu an, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Salman al-Farisi told Abdullah ibn Abbas the story of how he met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how he embraced Islam. So he told Abdullah ibn Abbas that I was a Persian who lived in Asfahan, a village somewhere in Iran, and my father was indeed one of the leaders of our community. And I was back then a Zoroastrian, a Majusi in Arabic, a person who worshipped the fire, a person who took the fire as his god. And I was not just a Zoroastrian, I was in fact the caretaker of the temple. I was the one that took care of the fire to make sure the fire was lit and to make sure the fire didn't wear off. So once upon a time, my father actually told me that, oh Salman, I have a job for you to do. Because my father in fact had a garden, a huge garden. So he said that he was not able to come to that garden today. So he told me to go there and look at the garden and see if there's something wrong about it or if there is something that needs to be taken care of. So I went there, he said to Ibn Abbas. He went there and that is where he actually heard some Christians singing their hymns, performing their prayers in one of their local churches. So when Salman heard that, he was amazed. He was baffled by the prayers. He was amazed by those Christians who were so devout in worshipping their God. So after that, his heart somehow bloomed and said, you know what? I think this religion is a better religion than the religion I'm practicing right now. So he went back. So his father asked him, yes, Salman, where had you been? Had you gone to the garden? So Salman said, no, oh father, I actually went there, but I was disturbed or I was distracted by those Christians in our local churches who actually were devout in their prayers. So I feel that I wanted to convert to Christianity and I feel that that is the best religion for me. So after his father heard that, he actually shackled him in irons and imprisoned him in his own house. So Salman was quite sad and he was imprisoned in his house for a few days. That was until he received the news that a Christian caravan who had came from Sham, modern day or present day Jordan and Syria, who was present in his country, Persia. So he decided to escape from his imprisonment. Okay, so he founded something to break away from his imprisonment in his house, and he went there and met those Christian caravans. So he told these Christian caravans, where can I go and learn your religion? So they said to him, go to Syria and go to the land of Sham, where you would find those devout Christians and they will in fact guide you to our religion. So he went there. He actually went with those caravans back to Sham and escaped from his imprisonment and his father. So that is where he reached. When he reached Sham, he actually sought for one of the learned men among the Christians. So he asked them, which amongst you is the most learned about your own faith? So they actually guided him to a particular priest named Asqaf. So this Asqaf was considered the high priest during that time in that place. So Salman Farisi met him and asked him, "I will be of your service, sir, and I would like to learn this religion, beautiful religion, from you." So Asqaf said, "Okay." So Salman started to follow him, be of his service, be of service to his church and so on and so forth. Yet he found something surprising. This priest or this high priest was in fact someone corrupted, where he encouraged people to give sadaqah, to give charity, but that particular money or those money that the people gave in charity was somehow hoarded by this person or somehow hoarded by this priest, and he kept it for himself. So Salman was furious. Salman thought this particular priest did not practice what he preached. He shows to people that he's a good guy, but in fact he is consuming people's wealth unjustly. So after the death of the priest Asqaf, another priest was substituted for him and Salman trained under him. But it was there that Salman somehow saw the beauty of this particular religion he looked at. And for information, Salman actually lived before the Prophet ﷺ's advent. So he lived before the coming of Islam, and he was quite old when he met the Prophet ﷺ. So all of this was pre-Islam, when Christianity was the religion that was sent by Prophet Isa ﷺ. So this particular priest, this new priest that Salman was under him, somehow he felt amazed by him because he practiced his faith devoutly. He practiced his prayers. He was a very devout servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after a few years, the particular priest died. So before he died, the priest actually told Salman, "If you really want to find another person who can guide you, go to this person somewhere around Mosul." So Mosul is actually a place in Syria, and it's still there. So Salman went there and he met another priest, and he trained under that priest because he was still searching for this comfort, for this truth. He saw that this priest was quite devout in his worship. So again, Qaddar Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had intended that that particular priest also was at his deathbed. So Salman actually asked him, "How can I meet another person who is just like you, who is so devout in his practices, who is practicing this beautiful faith of yours?" So the priest also guide him to another priest in another place. And this happened for 3 times. So he met another priest and he trained or somehow served under the service of this particular priest, and he practiced that faith for almost 3 times, because each priest somehow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destined for that particular priest to die earlier. So at every deathbed, those particular priests, those 3 priests, told Salman to go to the next person until he reached the final priest, the 3rd priest. So this particular priest was also devout, practicing the same faith and was devout just as the previous priests were. So Salman asked the priest when he was at his deathbed again, "Oh priest, can you guide me to another person who's also practicing just as how you are practicing, and at the same time who is also devout in your faith?" So that particular priest said, "There is no one that I know of that is practicing this faith just as I am and those before me. But be happy, O Salman, that you are actually living in a time or in an era where the last prophet will come." So Salman asked, "Who is this prophet?" So this particular priest told him that this prophet is actually a prophet, is the last prophet. He is also following the religion of Abraham, the religion of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. He was also a prophet that will migrate from a place called Mecca to a place where dates were being planted. And this was of course the land of Medina. And he is a person, if you really met him, to know that he is in fact a prophet, he is a person who will not consume sadaqah, meaning charity. He will accept people's charity, yet he himself will not consume of other people's charity, but he will in fact only take or consume what is given to him as a hadiyah, as a gift. So then Salman Farisi left his priest in his deathbed. So Salman Farisi searched for this prophet, searched for comfort, searched for this spiritual quest of finding the truth, and wanted to practice this so-called beautiful faith that his previous teachers did practice. And this is where fate or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala met him with the Prophet sallallahu. So the story continues as Salman Farisi narrated it to Abdullah ibn Abbas. So he told Abdullah ibn Abbas, "After that, I went and searched for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And during that time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was migrating from Mecca to Medina. So this is where I was searching for the Prophet, yet I was somehow scammed by a particular merchant who somehow wanted to guide me there. But he somehow scammed me, and I was sold to a particular Jew. Okay, so somehow he was lied to, and at the same time, all of his property was taken, and he was sold as a slave to a particular Jew who coincidentally was living in Medina. So Salman al-Farisi, as a slave now, with the particular Jew, went back to Medina. But during that time also, the Prophet ﷺ had not reached Medina. So Salman continued as a slave while waiting to meet the Prophet ﷺ, while waiting for a chance to actually get to see this particular man whom his teacher had predicted to be the last prophet. So he heard the news once when he was attending to his master's affair, because once his neighbor or one of his friends of his master, his Jewish master, he was talking in his house. So this friend told his master that, oh, you know that this particular Arab who claimed to be a prophet, he's saying that he's the last prophet, but I think he's a liar. So when Salman heard that, Salman asked, where is he right now? And then his master scolded him, saying, go and attend to your affairs and do not be somebody who eavesdrops of this affair. So when Salman heard that the Prophet ﷺ was at Quba with his companions, radiallahu anhum, he actually took some things and rushed away to Quba after his work was done, secretly. So that is where he actually met the Prophet ﷺ. He saw him sitting in front of his companions. So he actually wanted to test if this particular person, Muhammad, was really a prophet of Allah and was indeed the last prophet. So he still remembered what his teacher had told him, that there are four signs that this particular person is a prophet. Number one, that he had migrated from Mecca. Number two, that he was following the religion of Abraham. Number three, he didn't consume sadaqah or charity, yet he accepted and gave it to other people, while at the same time he only accepts gifts and hadiah. And last but not least, his teacher told him that there's a physical sign where behind the Prophet's back there was supposed to be a lump of flesh that shows and indicated that he was in fact a prophet. So he tested the Prophet ﷺ. He came to the Prophet ﷺ, and then Salman al-Farisi told the Prophet ﷺ that he was, you know, searching for someone, and he actually accidentally found the Prophet. So he intentionally gave the Prophet ﷺ some food, and he told him, this is charity for you. So of course, the Prophet ﷺ took that and he gave him to his companions. He gave it to his companions. He didn't, and he himself did not eat from that charity. So again, Salman al-Farisi took another one and he told Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, Ya Muhammad, take this is for you as a gift. And then he observed the Prophet ﷺ and he found that the Prophet ﷺ actually ate from the one that was given as a gift rather than the charity. So the one that is given as charity is given to his companions, while the one that was given to him as a gift, that is where the Prophet ﷺ consumed from. So he knows, okay, so far, so good, so far, some of the signs had shown. Now I only wanted to see if there's this physical evidence or this lump of flesh that exists behind the back of the Prophet ﷺ. So he tried to climb something. He tried to see at the back of the Prophet ﷺ. He tried to sneak and see if there was this physical sign, because the Prophet ﷺ indeed had a small lump of flesh behind his back, and this is what our scholars call khatmun nubuwah, or the seal of the prophethood, or the sign of the prophethood. So the Prophet ﷺ actually knew that Salman was sneaking and looking around and trying to see his back. So the Prophet ﷺ purposefully or intentionally lower his garment and lower his coat that he was wearing. And lo and behold, Salman actually saw the two lump of flesh, or his khatmun nubuwah, the sign of his prophethood, behind his back. So Salman in fact knew this person was indeed the last prophet of Allah, the person whom his teacher had predicted to come. So then it was there that Salman al-Farisi told the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, or Ya Muhammad, I accept you as the last prophet. So he kissed the Prophet, he held his hand and said, I accept you, O Muhammad, as the last prophet that my teacher had told me. So he told this story, he told Ibn Abbas, this story that I'm telling you right now is the same story that I told the Prophet ﷺ and the other companions back then. So all of the companions were shocked to hear his story, his journey to find the truth from a Zoroastrian living in Persian who was imprisoned by his own father, who searched and traveled here and there for the truth, to seeing people of different backgrounds, to finally meeting the Prophet ﷺ, the bearer of truth himself, and to finally accept the Prophet ﷺ. But the fact is that Salman al-Farisi was still a slave to the particular Jew. So he wasn't that free. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, for now, go to your master and do what is the job that you have to do, and inshallah, good news will come. So after a few years, Rasulullah SAW actually told Salman, go to your Jewish master, tell him that I want to set you free. So of course, his Jewish master at first was reluctant to release Salman. Yet after discussions and negotiations, finally, Rasulullah SAW had decided on a particular contract where he would release Salman al-Farisi. So he was, at the end of his time, freed from slavery. So this was the story of the conversion of Salman al-Farisi, the great companion, radiallahu anhu. It's a very long story. You can find it in Musnad Imam Ahmad. It is narrated. The whole story is narrated there. So what we can learn from this story is that, number one, the search for the truth. I think we can see this in people who converted to Islam. Hence why we have a very sweet spot for stories about conversion, where we feel inspired, where we feel that, you know, people who search for the truth once, intentionally wants to find solace, intentionally wants to find goodness for himself. And also number two, we can see how dedicated Salman al-Farisi is. For years and years, he traveled here and there under different teachers, yeah, solely to practice and find the truth. And I think one important lesson also we can learn from this story, just as one of the priests or one of the teachers of Salman al-Farisi, as mentioned in the story, is that we must practice what we preach. Yeah, that particular priest who somehow encouraged others to do charity, yet he in fact consumed other people unjustly. So we need to make sure we don't somehow consume other people's wealth without any apparent reason or for unjust reasons. And I think Salman al-Farisi himself, after he converted to Islam, became one of the greatest companions in Islamic history. He was also the one that contributed to the Battle of Khandaq, the Battle of the Trench, where he was the one that gave the Prophet ﷺ and the Muslim army the idea to build a trench. So this was something quite new because the Arabs did not face it before. So he contributed much in the Battle of Khandaq. He was also a person who loved the Prophet ﷺ and he was proud to be a Muslim. So let me just end this story with this particular hadith from Salman al-Farisi, where once a Jew approached him and said, and somehow ridiculed him and his faith. So this Jew told Salman al-Farisi, yes, Salman, do you really follow this Muhammad? For even he must teach you how to clean yourself whenever you go to the toilet or whenever you go to clean yourself. Salman said, yes. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ taught us how to clean ourselves using three stones or an odd number of stones. At the same time, we should not face the Qibla whenever we are doing whatever it is we are doing. So Salman al-Farisi was quite proud and he didn't care that people ridiculed him of his faith. Yet he was proud and told the Jew that the Prophet ﷺ actually taught him a few things about how to clean oneself. And this also shows how Islam is in fact quite general and it touches every aspect of life. Even to the part where how to eat, how to drink, how to clean oneself was also taught by the Prophet ﷺ. And we should actually be proud of that. Because at the end of the day, we are Muslims. We are people who submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we accept this beautiful way of life. We accept that Islam had taught us many things. How to eat properly, how to drink properly, how to clean oneself properly. Because this is the way of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is content with. So we hope that by listening to this story, we feel more inspired. We are more inspired by Salman al-Farisi, how we to constantly seek the truth, how to constantly increase our knowledge, how to constantly be dedicated to your cause, and of course, how to constantly be proud of yourself as Muslims. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of our good deeds. Thank you for listening, and assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.